hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton, and today it's going to be another amazing show. Today I have on the show Robert Harris. He is a bachelor's prepared registered nurse and is certified in many, many, many different areas. I'm going to go ahead and read the certifications here. He has his CFRN, CTRN, TCRN, CEN, CPEN, CNPT, and of course, CCRN. He is the author of the Flight Nurse Bible, A Field Guide to Awesome. Robert Harris, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Well, hello. Hello, Elizabeth Overton. It is a pleasure to be here today. I've enjoyed your podcast for almost its entire run. I sort of joined a bit late, but man, I have caught up listening to you. I just love the way you naturally flow with people, and you seem to bring out the best in everyone. So I'm so excited to be here today and just spend some time with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I love to share with the listeners. I'm a very visual person, so I am in Minneapolis and you are in
San Diego, California. Yeah, I know. It's rough out here. It's awful. I almost got blinded walking into a palm tree frond earlier today. It was just the most stressful thing I've dealt with all year. I almost cried. It was terrible. But we got through it.
Oh, gosh. I love it. So we're, a few miles apart. However, the other cool thing is we actually met on LinkedIn, one of my favorite platforms. So thank you for reaching out to me. And I am a complete word nerd. I say that words have healed me. And I knew after you sent me a message about connecting, when I saw the tagline for your book, A Field Guide to Awesome, like that's like the third word in my vernacular. So I knew that we were going to get along just fine, Robert.
Absolutely. And when we communicated with each other back. Yeah, absolutely. It is called the Flight Nurse Bible, A Field Guide to Awesomeness. And the way you jumped on that, I felt this was inevitable. So I'm so excited. Once again, I'm not to gush, but I'm so excited to be here. And we got a lot of crazy fun stuff to talk about. I mean, I feel so overwhelmed with some of the guests you've had in the past. I want to jump right into exciting stuff and prove my worth.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I love your spirit and I love that you penned this book because I'll be honest, I used to be an adrenaline junkie. Okay. I used to work in the EP lab. So we defibrillated a lot of folks and, I used to sort of, pride myself on being able to do that and not being stressed out. So can you please share with the listeners, Robert, as much or as little about your very fascinating journey about your nursing journey, because it is really awesome.
Well, that would be my absolute privilege, Elizabeth. But it's funny you mention the thing about the defibrillation. I'm quite keen on when I'm discussing and when I'm in the blessed position to be able to teach others about ACLS and the worst case scenarios where we're doing resuscitation. I ironically tell them, ACLS is easy. With all due respect to the patient, they're already dead. We can only improve their position at that point. Their vitals have ceased to be sustainable to life. We can bring them back if we do things right, maybe, et cetera, et cetera. It's the 5 minutes prior to the defibrillation where we probably should have been on our A game. And that's kind of what my book is all about. It's getting you in the right mindset so that you pull yourself out of the gutter before you're in the gutter. Because you're going to be there if you're not watching out. I can give story after story after story of nurses who just weren't paying attention in the transport environment. And then boom, we're doing ACLS. But 5 minutes prior to that, had they been paying a little bit better attention, we could have made an adjustment here, a tweak there, and then none of that would happen. But anyway, I'm rambling. You asked about my story. Well, I was a kid from East Tennessee and joined the Navy as a teenager post 9/11. Spent some time in the Navy. I was a platoon corpsman with the 1st Marine Division and had a whole bunch of adventures. But I learned that they let corpsmen challenge for their LVN license. And that was insane to me because that's a year program by itself. And they just simply let us join in and participate and challenge this exam. So I studied for that. I did the fingerprint testing and the government wrote the letter saying, oh, he's fine. And then I went and did it and I passed it. And so then I got out of the Navy and then I went to nursing school and now I've been an RN for a decade or so. And when I jump in, Elizabeth, I'm sorry. I know I'm just overrunning here. That just brings me up to being an RN. I'll jump into phase two in a second of how I got to be a flight nurse from the RN. I'm going to tap out for a second because I need to take a sip of water.
Go for it. I can't wait to talk about the, did you say you're from East Tennessee?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from, well, if you ever heard of Dollywood, I grew up about 15 minutes from there, but nobody's ever heard of Dollywood. So I say from Knoxville, but it's actually Maryville, Sevierville. My dad hiked the Appalachian Trail, and yeah, I'm a good old country boy.
You can't make this stuff up. So I moved to Minneapolis from Memphis.
Oh, well, hello, Tennessee lady.
And my alma mater, my first degree is in exercise science, and my alma mater is none other than Alabama. So Tennessee and Alabama, I know. We could still be friends, though.
Well, I don't want to make this topical, but if y'all saw the whooping the Gators gave the Volunteers last week, I don't think I'm going to do much smack talking. So I'm just going to humbly bow out of this conversation until we get a better team. But
Anyway, moving on. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about, that's so cool that you were a corpsman and then you got your LVN and then you got your bachelor's. Tell us about, I mean, those letters that I read after your name, can you give a little perspective on that? And like, how long has it taken you to get all those? And what would you say that has allowed you to become in your role?
Well, that's just a beautiful question. And thank you so much. And that's a large focus of the first quarter or so of the book. Yes, tirelessly plugging the book. But the first half is for people who are trying to get to the flight nurse level, and the rest is just sort of a maintenance way to stay at the top of your game. But when I hit, as soon as I NCLEXed, I had an associate degree in nursing, and before any place can accept your resume, it's essentially 3 years. Any place that's CAMS accredited, that's the organization that goes over flight stuff, it's CAMS accredited. They say you can't submit until 3 years as an RN or a paramedic. And so I'm the son of a career flight paramedic educator, and I knew that was what I wanted to do. So I set the clock and I tried to get as many certifications as I could inside of 12, 24, 36 months. I looked at it as a 3-year clock. And granted, I had 5 years of corpsman experience. I was an LVN for a few years. And then I had a lot of experience going in. But the secret to this is certifications. And what I learned was, yes, if you go on the website, it says 2 to 3 years recommended to take any of these certifications. And that's through the Board of Certification for Emergency Nursing, the BCEN. Wonderful organization, the BCEN. They offer 5 of the 7 certs that you so generously read out loud. I can't believe you actually did that. That was quite an ordeal. But I set out to get as many of those as possible before my eligibility mark. And truth be told, a lot of nurses look at me with death eyes when I say this out loud, but I had my CEN, which is your certified emergency nurse, 90 days after taking NCLEX, because it's just a recommendation. Because you're going to pay a lot of money for these certifications. So they don't want to let you know, hey, you're probably not going to pass, and we don't want you to feel, we don't want to be responsible for you thinking that we gave you false hope. So I just dove right into the certification process, knowing that would get me invited to the interview at the 3-year mark. And that's exactly what happened. 3 years later, I was almost hired to the day for my first flight job.
Okay, so I wanted to clarify that. When you said that the interview, you're referring to the flight nursing, right?
Yes, okay, yes. Cool. The the quote unquote interview is your first flight job, where they essentially tear you limb from limb intellectually and find out whether you're faking or whether you're actually ready. And sometimes you got 15-year nurses, 10-year, 5-year, or 3-year like myself that are just thrown into the deep end. And I had a, nothing's going to help you face to face if you don't know these answers and you're not able to talk the talk and walk the walk. I kind of created a fun philosophy early on, where the more things you can have behind your name when you submit your resume, you're getting invited. I mean, you may not get that job. That's all about how likable you are, how lovable you are, or how smart you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have this absolutely ridiculous, mind-boggling resume, they're going to invite you just to make sure you're legit. And if you happen to be, they might just be like, wow, okay, you want a job? Or they might be like, wow, you're too much for us. But I apologize for nothing with any of that. I always tried to show up. I tell everyone, show up being the most proud, yet humble, most certified person in the room. And at the very least, it'll get you invited to the job interview.
Wait, I have a tweetable. Are you ready? This is so good. The more things you have behind your name, you're going to be invited. I love that.
Absolutely. You should never apologize for being overqualified. Ever. Overkill is underrated. That's not original. I stole it from the A-Team movie, but I will use it and credit them until I'm dead, because that is just
the best. I love the A-Team. Mr. T!
Absolutely. I pity the fool who don't show up with a good resume. No, you aren't. If you don't show up with being the baddest dude or chick in the room, never apologize for being overly successful. Never apologize for being more impressive than the person to the left or the right of you. That's their problem, not yours. Now, your humility has to shine through in spite of your success. But that's a whole separate conversation, and I'm still struggling with that. I mean, I think I will until I'm dead. You know, clearly I'm in love with myself. But, you know, hey, you know, maybe it's a summer thing, you know?
No, I love it. So what's coming up for me is that I'm not really – I don't have a bunch of alphabet soup after my name, and test taking gives me – that's not like my strong suit. So how in the world does one – I mean, seriously, one must prepare you for the next one. And what would you say to someone who's listening, a nurse who's listening, who wants to take their first certification exam? Obviously, you have some cred here with all the ones that you've taken. What do you have, like, one nugget of advice for them if they're nervous, or you've obviously been very successful, that you could share with them, Robert?
You're so sweet. What a great setup as well. Thank you. I'm going to run with that one. The first piece of advice is, yes, once again, read the Flight Nurse Bible. I spell all this out so wonderfully. That's why Elizabeth is being so generous with her time, letting me talk about it, because it's good stuff. But essentially, here's the thing. I braggadociously talk about having my CEN within 90 days of passing NCLEX. What I don't tell you is that I got cocky after that. And I proceeded to take the CFRN, the flight nursing exam, the alpha exam, male or female alpha, it's a non-gender term, but, you know, generally speaking, a hardcore exam for flight nursing. I bombed it, like, hysterically, humiliatingly bombed it. But I learned from it. And then I took the CTRN, that's the transport, the ground transport exam. 2 or 3 months later, still bombed it, but I'd improved 20 or 30%. Then I'm like, okay, what's next? And then I took the CPEN, which is the pediatric one, bombed that, but got a little better. And then I took the CCRN, which is now next to the CFRN, the most ridiculous of the tests, bombed it, kinda missed 5 to 10 questions. I'm like, but every step along the way, I was getting to the level I needed to be at. And then one of the greatest periods of my life, back to back to back, 2 weeks set apart in a 6-week period, I passed the CFRN, the CTRN, and the CCRN, bing, bang, boom. And it was a validation that getting my teeth kicked in repeatedly and just saying, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to get better. There's more people. There's a reason there's 200 types of physician out there. There needs to be. There's a lot of medicine to learn. This is insanity. So I get your teeth kicked in. Go take the exam. Let it beat you down. And then you're only excluded for 2 or 3 months while you restudy and go again. I've failed more things than I've passed, but I just keep going back. That's the biggest piece of advice is don't be afraid.
I love that. So this is what I know to be true. And I'm so glad that you want, I'm glad that you're sharing your experience, Robert, because so many people, especially in the, whatever you want to call it, social media, the limelight, whatever, humans are so attracted to bright, shiny objects, and people are so quick to compare ourselves, right? Well, we'll look at Robert. Well, that's great for him, but he probably, you know, blah, 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 right? It's like, we don't know or hear about the dark night of the soul where you're like, really? I can't believe I bombed that test, because it's a human experience. So I really want to thank you for sharing your truth on that one, because I know a lot of people listening, whether it's the NCLEX, right, or any other exam, they failed. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, it's just the only honest thing to do, Elizabeth. And not only that, but if you're scared about an exam, and yes, once again, the flight nurse Bible, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But I say this in a foreword to that, or in the earlier portions, where a lot of people build up a lot of, maybe you've been an ER nurse for a long time. Maybe you've been an ICU nurse for a long time. Or I wrote the book for anybody who's wanting to become a flight nurse. Maybe you're second to acting in life. Maybe you aren't fresh out of the military like I was. Maybe you're not out of high school. Maybe you're not, who knows where you're at. But you decide, I want to ramp this up a little bit. Where do you go? And a lot of people, especially if they've been in a field for a while, they have this preconceived notion of, oh, I'm a master at this. So to say, oh yeah, I'm going to go take a certification exam. I know 20-year ER nurses that don't have their CEN, Certified Emergency Nurse certification. They're some of the most inspiring nurses and, you know, hardcore nurses I've ever met, but they're not certified. And they're probably not going to go take it because they're probably terrified that they might fail that thing. And then how silly are they going to feel? I mean, it's human psychology. So I blatantly lay out in the book a secret plan to not make yourself feel silly. Don't tell people. Make it a personal project, a personal self-improvement project, and just go take the darn thing. Study for a couple weeks, give it a good effort, and if you fail, you fail. If you fall on your face, you fall on your face. But you don't have to tell anybody. Just be like, oh, I'm going to study a little longer, or, you know, I just don't feel like I'm ready yet. Yeah, you don't have to just fall on your sword by default just because you want to take these certs. And that takes the psychology out of it. That's a huge thing for people, is their pride will keep them from hitting the next level of professionalism. And you're all about that, Elizabeth, helping people get over their problems and find their next level.
I love this is so good. Okay, and people, speaking of psychology and humanity and humans, people love lists. People love top 10 reasons. I used to love David Letterman, top 10. You know, he always had a top 10 list. So can we please talk about this amazing, the 12 flight nurse commandments, please? I love this list. Maybe you want to read it. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Because this is epic in so many ways.
Well, once again, you're incredibly, incredibly sweet. But yes, in the foreword of the Flight Nurse Bible, in the foreword portion, you know, I throw out an independent page 12, for those of you paying attention. It's called the 12 Flight Nurse Commandments. And I ran this by a bunch of different people, and I reworked it, and then I reworked it, and then I rethought about it, and this is what you got. Number one of the 12 Flight Nurse Commandments from the Flight Nurse Bible. Number one, be nice. Number two, be situationally aware and prepared for anything. Number three, you are only as good as your last flight. I took that from Dana White from the UFC. You're only as good as your last fight, but I don't think he'd mind. Anyway, number four, do not get tunnel vision. Stop severe bleeding. Needle decompress both sides of the chest and secure the airway. Number 5, take a deep breath. Calm your voice, tone, and speed. If you calm the tone, the speed will follow. If you slow the speed, the tone will follow. All right, so number 6, be a master of machines and know your pharmacy. You're given all of these tools as a nurse, and unless you know how to use them, they're not the tools they could be. All right, next. Number 7, capnography is unimpeachable. And that's a bit of a technical one, but essentially it's a end-tidal CO2 waveform that you get from our monitors. That requires an exhale from the patient. So while we have a patient with an airway that's patent and we're ventilating them, we always get a last capnograph waveform that shows they were exhaling. Then we disconnect them from our equipment to the other hospitals. That way, if anything goes wrong, if after 5 minutes we leave, they pull that airway out or something bad happens, they're like, oh, well, the flight crew brought us a dead person, or, you know, not to be morbid, or a deteriorating patient. We could be like, no, we didn't. Time-stamped capnograph. Anyway, capnography is unimpeachable. Number 8, everything is your fault, Lisbeth. Document well. Chart for your life. I tell that to everybody. Number 9, know when to gather your equipment and walk away slowly and quietly. And that's a dark one. But there will be times where you're called into a no-win situation. And quite frankly, unless it's a marginal pediatric case or something where we might be able to turn the tide on something terrible, sometimes we show up and there's nothing we can do. And we need to cut bait and bail, so to speak. And that's just sort of a morbid comment, knowing to accept that maturity level. Number 10, the most important piece of advice to any nurse, anytime, anywhere. My father taught me this when I was a child. Reassess, reassess, reassess. Number 11, do not walk into tail rotors. I think that's self-explanatory. And number 12, everybody paying attention? Number 12, be nice. There you go, Elizabeth.
This is so okay. So, like I said, when I saw the tagline to your book, "A Field Guide to Awesome," like I knew we had to connect because we're kindred spirits because of our language. And when I saw this list, I was like, "Oh my God, this is so." I could like see this in the bathroom stall, like on the back of the door when you're going to the bathroom.
Well, I'm not sure what that says, but yeah, no, I'm kidding. No. Yeah, available in the finest restrooms near you, the Flight Nurse Bible, you know, get it with the mint from the attendant.
Well, I feel like, to me, one of my favorite writers of all time, whom I just discovered literally in the last 7 months, Florence Scovel Shinn, and she said many profound things, but one of the most profound things she said your word is your wand.
Yes, I like that.
And you receive what you prepare for.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't know what you're doing, you might look really stupid, whereas the person next to you with the same exact situation might look like the next Einstein. And it's simply a matter of preparation. I mean, yes, some people are born with certain gifts. Some people are born Michael Jordan. Some people are just born with this ability to rock life. But for the rest of us, people like me, silly dudes from the boondocks, it's about hard work and it's about studying and reading and going for something bigger than yourself so that you can handle these challenges when you get them. Because I like to tell everybody, this is healthcare. Elizabeth, you know, this ain't retail. I'm not selling you a sofa. I'm saving your darn life. You know?
Oh, my God. So good. No, I love your vibe. It's so good. And I'm just wondering, so I have two questions for you that are coming up. How much of being a corpsman do you think, and obviously you were, your father, right, was a flight paramedic, right? Like you were...
Yes, career. I grew up in an ambulance station, you know. He was always a... field paramedic, paramedic educator, and flight paramedic, et cetera. Yeah.
So So how much of the Navy do you think, I mean, obviously it's what you know, so maybe it's hard to imagine, but how much being in the Navy do you think is part of this fabric of your humanity?
Well, you know, there are hours worth of conversations we could have on just that. But essentially, I was so fortunate in a lot of ways, and unfortunate in some others, and, you know, there's a lot of details. But essentially, I didn't see nearly as many terrible things as many of my fellow corpsmen and Marines. And not that I was always safe or anything to that silly degree, but I got nothing to complain about. And so I always had a degree of gratitude for my own safety and appreciation for having all my fingers and toes. And so I never thought that I should be satisfied because I, you know, I'm very patriotic, and serving in the United States Navy was one of the absolute greatest things I could have ever done with my life. And I would do it again if I needed to. However, I got a plan. You know, I wanted to go be a civilian flight nurse, and I wasn't headed in that direction in the military. So I did my 5 years, and I got out and went down that path. However, I got to be honest, you know, when you join the Navy at 17 and you're just getting your teeth kicked in from day one, and then you go with the Marines and you're getting your teeth kicked in even more, and it's just crazy, and you're this kid running around with an M4 with a group of Marines, you know, doing crazy stuff all the time. That's one heck of a way to become an adult. And so sometimes I run into these immature young men and women, and I don't want to call them by their term millennials, because that's just childish and they don't appreciate it, and I don't want to demean anybody. But I think it's just a maturity thing. You either get it or you don't. And if you've been spoon-fed and you don't know strife and struggle and you've never had your teeth kicked in by anyone, then you know what? You're going to learn a few things in life, because life is not going to care about your feelings. Life is not going to care about what you think you can take. Life's going to throw itself at you, and you can either deal with it or you can't. But if you have a plan, life is yours. It's just that simple. You got to plan for success. So if anybody's in the military right now and they're wanting to get out, that's fine. No, but have a plan. Otherwise, you're going to end up, you know, working at some corporate place or some not corporate place that I don't want to mention names and get Elizabeth sued here. But, you know, I mean, you know, I joke in the book, I said, you know, if what I'm saying here doesn't give you a thrill chill up your spine, then put this book down. This book isn't for you. Go become a bank teller or something like that. Like, this book is for people who want to be heroes. This book is for people who want to maybe offer up the ultimate sacrifice for something better than themselves. And a lot of times, if you grow up in the military, you know that. You are taught that. You're ready for that. But if you don't, you might not know what it's like. You may not even have ever considered dying for something better than yourself. And people need to learn that. And I think that's a huge part to success. And I realize I'm getting all intense here and rah, rah, rah. But, you know, whew, okay, I'm tapping out again.
That's good. No, I appreciate your sharing that experience. And absolutely right. A lot of people that may be listening maybe haven't had that experience or know that. So I think that's important to bring to the conversation. So thank you for that, Robert. Now, this is the other thing I wanted to ask you, especially related to number nine on the 12 flight nurse commandments. Yes. No one to gather your equipment and walk away slowly and quietly. Like, what in the world? You must have some way to debrief. When we're in a situation, we can become desensitized because it's like the things that you cannot unsee with your eyes and your body and your mind. How do you deal with that?
Well, there are a variety of things in your personal life you can do to deal with. I understand now we're not calling it PTSD anymore. I think we're calling it PTS, whichever the proper terminology is. Everybody's got a form of it. And the crazier you've lived and the crazier you've been through things, the more you got. And dealing with that, I mean, I can get to a specific instance in a moment, but generally speaking, though, you gotta be able to realize a couple of things. Number one, freaking out is normal. You're gonna be freaking out. Everybody freaks out. This stuff is crazy. We're registered nurses. I say in the beginning of the book, I said there's never been more people, and people have never been living longer. So if you make caring for the sick and dying your chosen profession, there's a good deal of death and disaster that's going to happen on your watch. And you just got to be mentally prepared to deal with that. Now, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. A lot of people crawl into the bottle. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy bourbon as much as the next human being, but that's not a hideout. You know, that a lot of people pursue it in like I already mentioned, the bottle, or they take it out on their loved ones, their spouse, their children. They, you know, they become these despicable human beings that are quote unquote heroes for who they are in real life, but they go home and self-destruct. You got to find a balance between letting go of the disaster, letting go of the misery. Yeah, you know what? That was awful. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to bum out your audience, but you know, with things here, there, the other, but you know, yeah, that most terrible thing you can imagine. Yeah, that happened the other day. Yeah, I did have that on my hands. Yeah. Well, so to speak, you know, and yeah, I was involved in that. And yes, I couldn't have helped that. I walked away from that damaged mentally. You got to absorb it. You just got to act like one of these MMA fighters that just bite down on the mouthpiece. You know, these men and women that just can't be beaten. And you just have to have this attitude of, you know what? I was born and I'm going to die. And there's 7 to 8 billion people on this planet that were born. They're also going to die. And I'm going to be a part of a lot of that. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to be mature about it. And I'm not going to fall to pieces every time I find something that really frustrates me. But to answer your question about the details, I do a lot of skydiving. I play guitar. I do a lot of drawing. I write. I have a wonderful companion, Jennifer Saunders, love of my life, who's also a career flight nurse, and we were able to talk about things together and debrief, and that is so valuable. I'm not a parent, so I don't really have any advice for people dealing with their children and how to, you know, bring these coping mechanisms home in that respect. But as an individual, you need to keep yourself busy. Jiu-jitsu, boxing, running, something that gives all of that built-up, pent-up aggression in your life a place to go to. And you got to stay excited about what you do. That'll prevent burnout. I feel so bad, Elizabeth. I'm just giving all these really long, rambling answers.
This is great. I love it. So you're obviously very creative. You definitely flexing that the right brain with your, that's cool. You play the guitar, you draw, you write, your companion, you debrief. That's hello, jumping out of airplanes. Obviously that seems like it's right in your vein of fun. So that is awesome.
Yeah, slow days and whatnot. Yeah.
So I think this is such a phenomenal resource. I mean, listen, if I wanted to be a flight nurse, I'd be all over this book, like white on rice. So can you tell people a couple things? Tell them again the title of the book, where to get it, and if people were like, oh my god, I want to ask you these two questions that I have, how can they entertain that, Robert?
Absolutely. Well, it's very simple. I don't know what the future holds for me. I got a lot of projects in the works, and a lot of people are like, when's your next book? And I'm like, well, hold on, calm down. You know, I it's not called A Flight Nurse Bible. It's called The Flight Nurse Bible. It took me 20 years to come up with enough life experience to write this book. And I've had a year now to go over it tooth and nail. And I love it. I wouldn't be on here talking with the famous Elizabeth Overton, Divine Downloads, if I wasn't proud of this work. So there's something to it. And R.P. Harris, R.N., Robert Palmer Harris, R.P. Harris, R.N. at yahoo.com, open email, give me a call. My phone number's on my Amazon author page. And I have the very easy to find on LinkedIn through my own name, Robert P. Harris. And like I said, my book is beyond easy to find on Amazon, and it's fairly priced. I went out of my way to make sure that a lot of the audiobook will be coming out hopefully within the month for the year anniversary. I'm working on that presently. But the Kindle version is $5.49. That's cheaper than a burrito.
Woo-hoo!
And all this can be yours. Now the paperback, that's going to cost you, you know, that's a whole $14 something or whatever they have it selling for. I mean, the point is, it's really good. And it even looks pretty on a shelf. I took the photograph that's on the cover, and I spent a lot of time in post-production making sure that I'd never have to rewrite this book, and because I want it to be right the first time. So I hope people enjoy that. And Elizabeth, would you give me a moment just to read the sign off from that book? Would that be all right with you?
No, we're gonna give just, no, not quite yet, Robert.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I thought we were going to sign off. I didn't want to keep going. I've been going so long here.
No. This is good. One thing I was gonna say, hold on a second. Something came up. Let me see if it's gonna come back. Anyway, while we're waiting for that, yes, the way that we're going to sign off this beautiful conversation is that you're going to read an amazing excerpt from your book. This is like a great, you know, we got the holidays coming up. I'm thinking this would be a great stocking stuffer for students, nursing students, nurses. Anyway, I'm just getting so many ideas. And so, of course, you know the name of the show. It's The Divine Downloads. And we had a little conversation about this before we hopped on when we talked in the past, but would you say, or what would you say, I know you have so many incredible, rich life experiences, Robert, I would love for you to tell us this one thing where you received some information, upload, a download, maybe it was to write the book, that once you received the information and you put it into practice, it basically changed who you are, how you put your pants on, how you show up. What's one that you would want to share with the audience today, Robert?
Well, what a humbling question. And I think, you know, I hadn't quite prepared for this question, but I think one of the most important things, because your audience and my audience tend to be people that are very, very energetic, bubbly, enthusiastic, and overflowing with whatever we happen to be overflowing with at the time, emotion, for lack of a better term. And just maybe an anecdote, for the first year or so I was flying, you know, I was putting a lot of excessive effort into seeming competent, into forcing situations, and into almost like I felt like I needed to prove myself. Maybe it was, you know, I'm living up to my father. Maybe it was a military thing. I mean, who knows why? It's part of my therapy. But I had one of my mentors sit down with me one day and say, hey, you need to slow roll. I'm like, slow roll? And he goes, yeah. You roll into these situations thinking you're Captain America, and you're stressing everybody out. You're going a mile a minute, and the room can't keep up with you. And the whole point of this is to help the patient, and you're even stressing the patient out. Because I need you to slow roll. You walk in the room. You're proud, but you're humble. You're efficient, but you're calm. Calm yourself. Steady yourself. Realize that if your patient is perceiving you as being too excited for the situation, maybe you're not bringing the most calm environment that you could be. And so if I have any advice to the alpha men and women listening, be aware of your voice, tone, and speed, and take a breath. Take a breath, because nobody cares how smart you are if you don't make them feel nice, if you don't make them feel good, if you don't make them feel safe. It's all for nothing. Serena Williams has a quote that that I absolutely love, you know, the legendary tennis player, at least I think it's her quote, it was on one of her Nike commercials. It says, "It's all for nothing without control." And I love that. I love that. It is all for nothing without control, Elizabeth. That's just, so that's the best single piece of advice without getting into morbid, you know, body part all over the place stuff that I could get into, just with general advice, is calm yourself. You're not as good as you think you are. You will be humbled. And if you haven't been humbled, then you haven't been tried hard enough yet, because you're going to be humbled and you better be ready for that. And then it's all about how you come back.
So beautiful. From number 5 of the 12 Flight Nurse Commandments, take a deep breath, calm your voice, tone, and speed. What sage wisdom. It reminds me, the slow roll. I love that. It makes me want sushi. I know.
I think about that every time too. Out here in California, you know, that's on my mind on the average day anyway. But yeah, no, absolutely.
But it reminds me of was it Maya Angelou? You know, nobody remembers what you say. People remember how you make them feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I paraphrase that in the book as well. And then a quick plug to Randolph Mantooth, the famous actor who played Johnny Gage from the TV show Emergency back in the 80s. One of the founding, you know, sort of elements of EMS. Post-Vegas shooting, he, a few weeks later, was doing a talk, and I think you can find this on emsworld.com or something like that. Sorry, not to plug anything other than Elizabeth Overton Divine Downloads. But he gives an absolutely heart-wrenching speech about appreciating the value of what we do for a living and who we are as human beings. And Randolph Mantooth, Vegas speech, if you look that up, you won't have a dry eye, and it'll make you rethink a few things in your life. And I paraphrase him in the book at one point. Actually, to be honest, I wrote the book before I saw that. So it turns out we said the similar thing, but it's not the most original quote. People will always remember how you make them feel. They may not remember what you said, what you did, the equipment you used, but how they felt while they were under your care. They're going to remember that. That stays with people.
Seriously. Okay, this totally brings up, before we sign off and wrap this up with a beautiful excerpt from your book, I saw on Facebook this incredible post about a woman, I believe she worked, a nurse that worked in the ICU, and you know, she had a comatose patient, he was intubated, and she always talked to him, like she always said, you know, you're going to be okay, you're going to make it. And, you know, she treated him like the human that he was, despite the fact that he couldn't talk, he couldn't, you know, he was intubated. And guy totally made it. He came back and he came and told her, "You are the reason I'm here." Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, stories like that are just absolutely life-affirming and beautiful. And there are many of them. And YouTube and the information age and the internet is making us closer. And if you need inspiration, just type it in. Inspiration, nursing, inspiration, saving lives. Find your keywords and go online and turn your day around. There's no reason to be sad. Everybody's going to die. We just have to get comfortable with that and be adults about it and find ways to live this life to the best we absolutely can. It's just that simple. Beautifully said, Elizabeth.
I love that. Find your keywords. So we're going to find our keywords, everybody that's listening, and we're going to wrap this up. Can you share your excerpt now from the book?
Well, I'd love to. All right. Page 148 from the Flight Nurse Bible. "There are billions and billions of people on this beautiful blue planet, and we are all spinning through space together for the entire term of our short lives. These facts should not depress you or make you feel small. These facts should inspire and empower you to look around the world and see the many ways you can make an impact, a positive impact with your existence. If there is a greater purpose to life, it must be to serve one another passionately and alleviate suffering. We must also attempt to live as intelligently, courageously, and joyfully as possible. Semper Fi, blue skies, vaya sin Dios. Oh, and one more thing, Elizabeth. No matter what you do, do not walk into a tail rotor.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And let the angel choir say, hallelujah. Well, seriously, Robert, this has been so just really obviously energizing. You do have a definitely this high vibe energy about you. I have learned more about certifications, flight nursing, really just, and the 12 commandments of the flight nurse. And I think this is your work to the profession is, it's a beautiful work that you have published and that you're sharing. That's great that you're going to have this out on audio. So thank you for reaching out to me. And I look forward to what you're putting out into the universe, you know, in a future state. And I just want to thank you for being here with me today.
Absolute pleasure. And you keep doing what you are doing, Elizabeth, for real. I'll keep you appraised of anything I might do that might be worthy of hanging out with you again. And hopefully we could do this in the future.
Oh, for sure. And so again, thank you, Robert. And of course, thank you to the listeners. If this has inspired you in any way, please share it with your besties. If you want to go over on the old iTunes and leave a review so we can increase our rankings so that more nurses can. I really just want this to be a platform for nurses, no matter where you are, if you're in school, if you're a brand new baby nurse, if you're about to retire, that you really see what's possible, because there has never, ever on the history of the planet been a better time to be a nurse, to be a person that makes impacts in the world with the skills that you have as a registered nurse. I've never been more proud to be a nurse. And so I just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for your service in nursing and healthcare and frontline staff. And remember that you are always, always supported on your journey, even when it's scary and when you feel like you're not supported. So until the next time, keep owning your awesome and remembering that you're supported, and we'll see you next time. Peace out. Bye-bye.